one very predominant concern in step family is that often between homes, when the kids are going between homes, there's going to be a very different nutritional profile from one home to the other. 9 times out of 10, households between how like co-parenting households, we're not feeding our kids the same things. Even if we fundamentally believe the same things, we have a different menu at the different house, right? And so one of the concerns that often our clients will have is like if they're eating, if the kids are eating, overly processed foods or eating out quite often in their other home, then this develops a certain taste preference with the kids, right? Because obviously food that is super fatty, food that is deep fried, food that is salty, food that is sweet tastes good. There's a reason we want to eat it, right? Like it's good and it feels good.
For most of us, belonging to a stepfamily was never part of the plan. We never planned to get divorced, never planned to fall in love with somebody who already had kids and an ex-spouse who's not going anywhere. But here we are, trying our best to solve the blended family puzzle. I'm Brittany Lynch, and for the last 15 years, I've been working with the human body, mind, and spirit. As a certified stepfamily counselor, mental health nurse, and having been a stepmom myself for the last decade, I've learned that happy stepfamilies are built by healthy people. Welcome to the Whole Stepfamily Podcast, where you will learn how to create peaceful, loving, authentic stepfamily relationships that allow you to be who you really are so you can love the life you live and the people you live it with.
As we wait on the timing, together we find it. There's more than one way to go home.
Hello and welcome to the Whole Step Family Podcast. I am your host, Brittany Lynch. Today, I have a very special guest here with us to talk to us about something very, very, very important for humans, for women, for children, for stepfamilies. Today on the show, we have a beautiful lady called Sloane Elizabeth. And Sloane Elizabeth is a food freedom coach and a holistic wellness expert who helps women eat, move, and live with love and intuition. She empowers women to stop dieting, obsessing, restricting, and playing small so that they can experience food and life freedom. She uses a unique and powerful combination of science and spirituality to help her clients heal and live their dream lives. Sloane is also a published author and has been featured on Food Network, my fave, The Doctors, Shape, Betches, and Authority magazine. Sloane, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm so excited to have a conversation with you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Brittany. This is going to be so epic. I'm so excited to dig in. So thank you for having me.
Ah, yes. Okay. Also Food Network. I'm like first of all, I never watch TV, but if I do, it's only Food Network. It's like the thing I binge. I love it. It's my favorite. I don't know how they've made their shows so emotionally rich and rewarding, but I just love the Food Network.
Same. It's the best. For me, it's either Food Network or Shark Tank, and that's it.
Shark Tank. Good one. Yeah. Well, ironically, the Food Network is going to be what segues me into some questions later. But before I get into all of my questions, Sloane, I know I gave everybody your bio, but I imagine there's a story behind the bio.
For sure.
So why don't you let us know about like who you are, and what led you to this path of empowering women to develop a healthier relationship with themselves and their intuition and their food and so on?
Yes. Okay. So to make a long story short, of course, I grew up in Los Angeles, so I'm a West Coaster originally, and I, was surrounded by health and wellness from a very young age just because of the, Hollywood industry, LA, fitness, all the things. But it wasn't really until I was about 17, so going into my senior year of high school, that I started developing any sort of discomfort in my body, any type of body insecurity. Like I grew up feeling good, confident, balanced, all the things. And I really felt like my foundation just fell from beneath me when my body started changing. But I was 17, so I didn't think, oh, puberty, when that's what it was, like my body was actually finally developing. I was always a dancer, a cheerleader. Like, you know, my growth was certainly stunted when I was 12, 13, 14. So my body changes. I'm like, well, something is wrong. I'm doing something wrong, because we're taught that your body changes when you're 13 and then that's it. And I was like, well, my body didn't change when I was 13. So I guess I'm the lucky one. And right, I just thought I would look like a prepubescent boy for the rest of my life. And that's certainly not what happens. So I was always very like math, science focused. My mom thought I would become a doctor. But I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was definitely like science-minded and numbers. So here I am feeling like my body's changed, something's wrong. So I figure, okay, I'm going to solve this with math and science, aka calorie counting, which is not the way to do it. But that's, I really thought I was being the smartest. I really thought I was. This led me to, quote, clean eating, 80-20, protein this, no carb that, like all of the fads, all of them at the same time. So overwhelming, felt like my life was run by food, completely not tapped into my body, just focusing on these rules and the numbers. And yeah, really feeling like food controlled my life. So then I graduated from high school, went to college, and it continued and it persevered there. But I had a lot of self-awareness, and I realized that either I could keep going like this and I was going to develop a full-on eating disorder in college, or I could heal and actually have the best time, because I loved the school that I was at. I remember my cousins telling me, oh, like college is, you know, the best 4 years thus far of your life. And I was already feeling that, but I realized I couldn't live a full life if I was struggling like this with food. So I was like, okay, line in the sand, I'm going to heal. This is not okay. I went the science route, right? Because I was like, let me bust these food fears. Let me figure out the truth behind all of this, which was helpful for sure. Like I was pre-med, learning the truth about the biology, the biochemistry, nutrition, certainly helpful. But learning the knowledge doesn't always do too much for the anxiety we feel, for the gripping onto control, right? For the comparison that lingered. So it wasn't until I finally picked up like my first, quote, self-development book, and it was a Gabby Bernstein book, that I like the flip freaking switched. And I realized that I have always been a very spiritual person, just wasn't really taught how to be, like didn't have the language for it. I learned about the universe. I learned about my higher self. I learned about subconscious mind. I learned about manifestation. And I realized that my food stuff had literally zero to do with food and everything to do with subconscious roots around control, perfectionism, abandonment wounds. And that was it. I was like, this is my healing. So eventually I healed my relationship with food, but it wasn't just through nutrition. It wasn't just through the 10 steps of intuitive eating. It was really by unlocking, rewiring the subconscious roots that had literally nothing to do with food, and then combining it with my love for nutritional science, my love for holistic wellness, figuring out how to use my intuition, like my third eye chakra intuition, to make food decisions as well as other decisions. And I was always very entrepreneurial. Started my first business when I was like 15. I started coaching while I was in college. And I was just doing kind of general health coaching since I was 20, actually. And I realized, though, that it was not very fulfilling to just tell people to eat more vegetables and drink more water. And I thought I would become a self-love coach then. Actually, when I first joined the business program that we're both in, like, my first launch was for a self-love program. I fully pivoted. I was like, not doing food because it's not about the food. That launch, nobody signed up. And my boyfriend was like, well, why did you abandon the food? Like, can't it be both, like the self-love and the nutrition? And I was like, oh my God, bingo. And so that is where I created the method of eating with love and intuition. And that is now what I teach and what I dedicate my life to. And it gets to be, you know, not just eating with love and intuition, but living with love and intuition, because the way that we do one thing is often the way that we do others. So that's a little slice of my story and how I ended up here.
Wow. First of all, wow. So great. Second of all, thank you for not finishing pre-med and becoming a medical doctor, because I've also, you know, I used to be a nurse, and the amount of nutrition and eating education that we were given in like the healthcare field was none.
And zero. There
were many physicians that I would work with, right, who would say the same thing. We don't learn to teach people how to eat. We learn how to treat people once they have become unwell because of what they've put in their bodies. So, I mean, this is not a diss on doctors, obviously.
There's a lot that's backwards, you can say.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if that... I'm having a moment right now. I'm having like a breakthrough moment for myself right now, because even though I myself, you know, in the work that I do with people and step families, the thing that I'm known for is that we provide like body, mind, and spirit wellness in the ways that we help people blend into their step families and develop a healthy, happy relationship with themselves. But what I maybe never put together, okay, was the way that body and spirit through food would tie together, the way that body and mind through food would tie together. And that is very curious to me, and I'm very excited to talk more about it. So go ahead, because your eyes are lit up. So say what's happening.
Okay. So I have a really good example that I think you will really love, that is one way to kind of blend it all together. And it's through the chakras, actually. So because I'm a Reiki practitioner as well, and I've always just been really interested in energy healing and chakras. So root chakra, right? Safety. Bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, root, safety, shelter, water, food. So if you grew up feeling unsafe, or let's just say that you're an adult in a step family and you don't feel safe, you don't really feel welcome, your root chakra is perhaps super duper tight. I often get a visual of the root chakra being like a snail that's like in the shell that really doesn't want to come out into the light. So when you don't feel safe in your environment, then you might not feel safe in your body. If you're not feeling safe in your body and you have this energetic disruption going on as well, you might turn to food for emotional comfort, because food is safety. Shelter is safety in that right? So this is a good way to see how it is the spirit, it is the energy, it is also the food, it's also the mindset. So if someone comes to me and says, I'm emotionally eating, like I'm stressed at work, so I come home and eat, how do I stop? I'm like, all right, I could just give you 10 tips and tricks to stop stress eating, right? To take a deep breath, to go for a walk. That is bullshit. And it's just not helpful, right? I want to understand, well, why is that thing at work stressing you out? Like, how can we build the resiliency? How can we expand your capacity to hold that discomfort of stress? But if you have a stressed out nervous system, if you have a stressed out energetic system, then that one thing at work triggers you, and now you're elbows deep in the bowl of ice cream. Plus, you don't feel safe at home. Plus, this and that. It's all super interconnected, especially with like the lower three chakras, the root, as well as the sacral. Like, ooh, sacral, you know, it's like our womb space, it's pleasure, it is creation. So a lot of times I see women either using food as like their sole source of pleasure or not allowing themselves to have pleasure with food. And it has to just be functional, right? And then they're also not really allowing themselves to play with their hobbies, not in the receivership of feminine energy, right? Maybe that has to play into their intimacy as well. This is all sacral chakra. So we can see how it's super duper deep. And this is what I love.
Yeah. This is so cool. I am totally geeking out and minorly starting to fangirl. I'm not going to lie. This is the best thing ever. And I'm so stoked. Okay. I'm so excited. Okay. So I'm going to back up. Yes. Summarize in case anyone who's listening is like not familiar with the chakras and what we're talking about right now. Do you want to do it or do you want me to do it? Let's just back up. If you're listening and you've never heard of the chakras or energetic systems, that we're talking about, fundamentally at the core of what we are discussing is that in the same way that we have a digestive system in our body that would take in food and process that food and then distribute that food to usable parts in our bodies, we also have an energetic system. And one of the systems, like how digestive systems are part of your organ systems, one of the energetic systems that we have is your chakra system. And this is what you would see anywhere that you went into like a yoga class or a metaphysical store, like a crystal store, or anywhere you go that there's hippies. You always see these things with this person sitting meditating, and it's like the purple and the blue and the line of colors down with the red at the bottom, right? And the person sitting. So the theory of this, of the science of the chakra system, the energetic system, is that each of these places in your body is responsible for essentially and corresponding to an organ system if we look at it underneath it all. So our root chakra, as Sloan was just talking about, our root chakra is connected to like our elimination, right? Going to the bathroom. And then our sacral chakra, our second one up, is related to our reproductive system. Okay, so there are corresponding energetic systems that correspond. I'm going to use the same word to define the word. There are energetic systems that correspond to our physical body systems. So if you are not familiar with the chakra system specifically, know that there are links between these energetic systems and our physical systems as well. So this explanation of how the energetic system is playing into our physical experience is a way of kind of going deeper into understanding what might be happening if you're having certain sorts of symptoms that you're noticing in your life. So like Sloan had said, if you're not feeling safe, right? If you don't feel safe at home, if you don't feel stable at home, this has to do, like she said, with our root chakra, with how grounded we feel, with how supported we feel. That's at the base, right? That's where we sit. That's what's held there. And for this food and pleasure connection, which it feels like I know that, but I have never put those pieces together, especially when you said, you know, it's not just that we eat to get pleasure, It's also that we won't eat foods that will give us pleasure because we will restrict ourselves from experiencing pleasure. Now, that is a moment for me. Because how often as women do we punish ourselves with food? And how often as women do we reward ourselves with food?
Yeah.
Let's talk more about second chakra, sacral chakra, food relation stuff, because this is amazing.
Okay, I'm so glad. And thank you for that beautiful explanation of the chakra system. That was perfect. And yeah, there are seven chakras like within the body that just go along the spine and they're in a rainbow formation. And when I mentioned like third eye chakra for my intuition, that is one of the chakras, right? That's right in between the eyebrows. That's more of the higher level, but we can't really get there until our lowers are feeling supported. So with the sacral chakra, this is the one that is orange. It is below the belly button, above the hips, in the reproductive organ system. As you said, we might use food as punishment. So sometimes we restrict the food, restrict the pleasure as a form of punishment. So this is saying, I'm not allowed to have the cookie. I've been so bad. I can only eat salads tomorrow, or I have to go to the gym and go extra hard out of punishment. But I also see people binge eating and going on the other extreme as a form of punishment. Because when you binge and you feel sick, that is often self-sabotage. So this gets us into a fear of success more than a fear of failure oftentimes. So let's say that you're having a really good week. You are eating with love and intuition. You're eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full. And that feels bizarre. You're like, this cannot be right, right? And a lot of times it's subconscious, so you're not maybe having these thoughts. But the idea of actually being successful in your health, the idea of actually having the pleasure and the discipline and, you know, radiant health and feeling normal. And then, you know, you get to have so much other success in life. If your health is successful, that might feel unsafe, or you might feel not worthy of that success, or you might not be used to success. You were taught that you are not a successful person. So your subconscious mind controls 95% of your reality. What's going to happen? You're going to end up binge eating to sabotage and mess up, in quotes, right? That quote, good week, and punish yourself by feeling now way too full. So there's that. And then with the overeating as a form of pleasure, right? It's like, I had a bad day. Nothing is really lighting me up. My job isn't lighting me up. Maybe my family life is challenging as well. I'm finding comfort in this food because I felt the lack of pleasure throughout my day. And it is also like a brain thing, right? Like the dopamine is released. Sugar does do something to our brains. We are smart creatures. Like you want the sugar because it's going to make you happier than having something that's bland, right? Like that is a biological, chemical situation as well. So there's a lot of options here, right? I'm giving a lot of options, like it could be this or it could be that. And this is also why I developed this system of healing, because it's not just about 10 principles of intuitive eating. It's not a one size fits all. It's let's identify which subconscious block or blocks are present for you. Is it that you feel like you don't deserve the pleasure, that your pleasure isn't important, that you're not worthy? Or is it that you don't have the capacity to hold success, or you don't have the capacity to hold the stress, right? It has nothing to do with food. The food is the byproduct. What we see on the 3D surface of how you're interacting with food comes way later. So a lot of people focus on, though, the food and what they're doing. That's the tip of the iceberg. We've ignored the entire underneath portion, which are the subconscious roots. So we want to first identify that. And hopefully by, you know, listening to this and hearing some options, maybe some light bulbs are going off, like, ooh, that one resonates with me. or, ooh, that one resonates with me, right? Because we can also talk about solar plexus. That's your personal sunshine. That's the confidence. That's the self-worth piece. So if it feels like your light is dim, it's not safe for you to take up space. I'm sure that comes up a lot with the step families. Like, I can't shine too brightly. Like, I need to integrate in here. I need to be accepted. I need to be seen, but I can't shine too brightly. I need to dim myself, hide myself. This is also an interesting connection. And then I want to hear your thoughts with sometimes weight gain and an inability to release weight in a loving way. That extra layer can act as a form of protection. So either to hide like the true you, like I don't feel safe to be seen. I don't actually want attention. So I need this extra layer of padding. I also posted this video on TikTok a while ago about like being catcalled and receiving like more sexual attention from being smaller. And tons of women responded being like, oh my God, yes, like sexual trauma, abuse, like have gained weight to protect myself from being someone that is seen as traditionally beautiful. And that is, you know, that's kind of a combination of solar and sacral and root. So my point here is like, we need to identify what your subconscious roots are. If you're noticing any of these habits with food that don't feel supportive and don't feel aligned to you, because the habits don't just come randomly out of nowhere. Like those are the results. Let's start with what is causing that effect.
This is so good. I'm loving every second of this. So there, I have a bunch of thoughts coming to mind, and it's going to be really hard for me to choose a path because I want to talk about all of them, but I think that I'll go this way.
Perfect.
So if you are listening to this show, if you've been listening to us for any length of time, if you're one of our clients, if you follow us, if you've heard me speak before, then there's a very good chance that you know that I will talk about like the symptoms of what you are experiencing, right? So in step family, when we have discord or disconnection in our step family relationships, one of the symptoms that might bring somebody to us as a client, a symptom you might be experiencing is, oh, my stepkids are being disrespectful. And that would be a symptom that would bring you to us. And then we would help you figure out, you know, what is at the root of that disrespect? And more specifically and more importantly, why are you perceiving this as disrespect? And what is causing you to take offense from this, right? So this is why people come to us after everything else that they've tried, it doesn't work, because we get into the root of what is actually happening. And that is what is happening with Sloan. Sloan is saying, hey guys, actually we can measure, and I've been through this. I've weighed my food to the gram. I have been there, right? I have been there. And I had a very unhealthy relationship with food for a very long period of time. And it's only been in the last few years, actually, that I can look at something and not immediately know the calorie count in my mind and not immediately know what the macros are in my mind. I had everything memorized. It was very obsessive and very unhealthy. And so my control of my food and my restriction of my food was a really accurate representation of like where I was at mentally, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally at the time when that was all happening. Now, what I want to dig into here is like how early on that these symptoms will start. The way that the symptoms will express themselves is going to be different, meaning whether you are binging or restricting, those are different symptoms, but they might come from the same place, right? And I, in step family, in any family, there's thing that happens where parents feel like they need to control how much food their kids are eating. And where parents will do this very damaging thing. If you're listening and you do this, stop doing it. where they make their kids sit at the table until they finish their food, or they make their kids sit at the table until they eat all their vegetables, or they force their kids to eat food, or they hide the sugar, or they, right? Because, so if you're doing this, and even though I said stop doing it, let's take the shame out of it for a second. Because we know we're doing this with good intentions, because we want to feed our kids healthy food. We want our kids to have healthy bodies. We don't want our food to get wasted, right? There are a lot of good things that are underscoring the ways that we are trying to enforce food rules in our home. But what does this do to our relationship development with food and eating over the years? How does this impact that?
It really does impact it a lot. And I agree with you. It is typically from a place of love. And I hear you. And I am not a parent yet, but I have thought about this. Like, how do you surrender that control? How do you teach kids to eat intuitively, to trust their own bodies, while also teaching them about nutrition? And I think that when you can actually teach about nutrition, teach why it should be a yes instead of focusing on the no. So instead of no, you can't have dessert until after dinner, could we simplify a little teaching about blood sugar balance, right? So let's say yes to the dinner. Let's say yes to some of the greens. Let's say yes to the chicken, because then we're going to say yes to energy. And then when we get to say yes to dessert after, we're going to feel so good. But you know how sometimes when you have dessert first and then you have a tummy ache, right? That doesn't really feel good. Could we say yes to a happy tummy today? Focus on the yes. Focus on why you're saying yes instead of saying, no, you can't leave the table. No, you can't leave until you've eaten all your vegetables. No, you can't leave until you finish your plate. Okay, why? I feel like kids want to learn why. And that's something that I just see a lot on social media now, just with like all health systems, especially let's say like women's reproductive systems. Like, why were we not taught these things? Like, we actually wanted to know, right? We didn't just want to be told to go on birth control. Can we know more, right? So if you are telling your child to always finish their plate, now they are learning to trust the portion on the plate above prioritizing their personal fullness cues. So could it be, you know, tell me how you're feeling. Are you feeling full? Tell me how your tummy feels right now. Like, can we have a discussion about it instead of just saying you finish what you're given and that's it, right? And I also have worked with tons of moms who are like, well, I don't want to make four meals. Like, how do I let my kids be intuitive while still being like, this is what we're having for dinner? And to that, I say, can you give them a choice in a small way? So it's like, we're having pasta tonight. Would you like red sauce or would you like green sauce? Because maybe that's simple, right? Or would you like Parmesan cheese on top? Or would you like a different cheese on top? Like, your choice. What would you like, right? We're having pasta and you can trust that and this is safe and you get a choice as well, right? Or do you want this dipping sauce or that one? So that's a good way to invite some autonomy in while still having a little bit of control. Like, we're having a protein, we're having a carb, we're having some vegetables. This, I'm the parent, like I am providing this grounding for you, this safety, this support, this structure. And here's where you get to have a bit of a choice. And I just wish it was more of a conversation instead of being like, no, you can't have the sugar. Like, let's explain ingredients, right? Let's explain, I don't like the word clean. I would prefer to say this one's made with simple ingredients. And when it's simpler, it's easier for you to digest, or it's easier for your tummy to break it down. And then you get the energy faster because it's easier to break it down. If there's more ingredients, sometimes it makes you kind of tired because it takes more time to break it down. So would you rather have your energy super speedy and fast? Or would you rather be a little bit sleepy? Your kid is probably going to say, I want it super fast and speedy. Okay, here is, right, the more nutrient dense or simple ingredient snack. I know that takes more effort, but I feel like our world would be a very different place if this was the conversation around food in our houses.
Yeah. And this focus on like why we should say yes. I also really like this because I also think that this opens up the ability to say yes to what we call in our house sometimes food, but what culturally we might call junk food, right?
Sure.
And I know that one very predominant concern in step family is that often between homes, when the kids are going between homes, there's going to be a very different nutritional profile from one home to the other. 9 times out of 10 households between co-parenting households, we're not feeding our kids the same things. Even if we fundamentally believe the same things, we have a different menu at the different house. Right. And so one of the concerns that often our clients will have is like, if the kids are eating, you know, overly processed foods or eating out quite often in their other home, then this develops a certain taste preference with the kids, right? Because obviously food that is super fatty, food that is deep fried, food that is salty, food that is sweet tastes good. Yeah. There's a reason we want to eat it, right? Like, it's good and it feels good. Yeah. And what happens when we have, you know, one home that might be more where that is their preference is to feed foods that are more convenient for whatever plethora of reasons we choose convenience foods that are very valid and very real, right? And then another household where the focus might be on, like you said, more simple ingredients, or more whole foods, even though that's kind of attached to a thing, but like fruits and vegetables and meat and potatoes and you know, the things that grow in gardens with legs and have legs. I really like this reframe of saying, like, this is why we need to focus on the yes. Like, because it is still okay to eat at the drive-through sometimes, right? Yeah. So if we can focus on the yes of that, of like, we can choose this as a yes because this is a sometimes thing and we are also going to have XYZ, then that can take that, for me, the way that this interprets and lands for me is that takes the shame out of it. Because what happens when there's shame around food is we start hiding it, or we start binging, or we start sneaking it. And I've talked to very many step parents who have had to do things like put locks on their pantry or like stash their food, right? So, but that, all that does is creates more desire, yes, for that food. And there's no education on it. It just becomes this weird kind of control thing, which again, we're trying to do because we have everybody's best interest at heart. So what's coming up for you here? Let's go into this briefly.
I love this. When we create this separation with the food, like it's locked away, it's off limits, you're putting it on a pedestal and you're going to want it, or the kid is going to want it even more. And the reason why I love focusing on the yes is because even as an adult, this is what I teach my clients. When we focus on the no, we're focusing on lack. When we focus on the yes, we're in abundance. So my client will say, okay, I love soda. I love drinking soda, and I'm smart. I consciously know that drinking a soda every day is not the most nutrient dense. It's not the most helpful, but I don't want to be dieting. So if I tell myself no, I feel like I'm forcing a rule upon myself. And I say, okay, well, why are you saying no? Well, because I want energy, because I want clearer skin, because I want to feel stronger in my body. Okay, yes, strength. Yes, clarity. Yes, energy. Okay, therefore, no to the soda today. Like, we're focusing on the yes, we're highlighting the yes. So if you can teach this thought pattern, that's going to be really helpful. And I grew up as a very picky eater. So what I'm also feeling right now, as you just shared this, is like, I grew up eating McDonald's every weekend. My brother and I were so picky. We ate chicken nuggets and plain pasta. I did not eat like tomato sauce until I got to college. My parents taught us to eat salads, but it was like, you know, iceberg, carrots, and ranch. We were really picky. My parents were not, like, they ate really, like, they cooked every night. Like, it was really a balanced, you know, diet that they were eating, but my brother and I were so, so picky. And so what I think is more important than the nutrition that your child is getting is teaching them how to make decisions, teaching them about their bodies. Because I know so many friends who, like, we all developed so much once we got to school. In college, we were on our own. That's when we start really making our own food decisions. We're in the dining hall. Nobody's monitoring us. And I can tell you that the kids who, you know, maybe ate more variety but weren't taught anything about their health or about their intuition making decisions, they were the ones that were like running around crazy in the dining hall, right? Whereas other people who maybe were a little bit pickier but still had like this foundation of maybe connecting with their body and having a little bit more knowledge, they were able to manage that newfound freedom a lot better. So instead of being so worried about the junk food and about the sugar, like, right? Why do we care? Okay, for longevity, for health. Like, I really believe that epigenetics is a real thing. We can turn on genes, we can turn them off. Like, there is time for your child to develop more of a taste for colorful foods. And I just don't think that has to be like a really huge, huge, huge concern, especially if that concern is now trickling into potential disordered eating behaviors because you're so worried. I would rather you worry about their relationship with food and trust that the content will mature and develop as they mature and develop too. I just think the priority can be shifted. I'm curious if you agree with that.
I think that that is a fantastic perspective because, you know, one of the coaches in our program, Dr. Catherine Endy. Hi, Catherine. She's a parenting coach, and something that she said really stuck with me, and it plays in my head often, especially when I'm finding myself in kind of challenging parenting moments. And she says we have to remember that we are the relationship that we are developing with our kids. Kids are going to be adults for way longer than they're going to be kids, right? And the same is true with our relationship to food of like, we have this little period of time where the parents are controlling and deciding what the kids are going to be eating, but they are going to be deciding on their own for way longer what they're going to be eating and what they're going to be putting inside of their bodies. And so if there is always this kind of parent control over what they are required to eat, we're not empowering our kids to develop the muscles and the decision-making capacity to choose what they want to put into their bodies. And if we're saying you have to sit at the table until you've eaten your vegetables, we are essentially overriding what they are learning to do, which is to develop autonomy in their decision making about what they're putting in their bodies. And that doesn't align with me necessarily. It's not the place that I would go. But I understand why we do it, and I have done it. Right? Yeah. I do get frustrated with my kid, especially with my son, who when he won't eat, because I'm like, you're like a plant. Like, how do you just drink water and have sunlight? Like, how are you still growing? I want you to eat and I want you to be healthy. But when he says I'm not hungry, you know, even though it agitates me sometimes, I really try not to override that because it can be and is so damaging. And I lived through that. I had to break disordered eating patterns. That was very challenging to do. So that's what comes up for me about this.
Beautiful. Yes, we're on the same page. And when you said empowering, I'm like, yes, like let's teach our kids and then relearn it for ourselves or strengthen it for ourselves, how to feel empowered and how to, you know, use our intuition while also using knowledge. So I like to blend three sources of intuition, I say. So we have our third eye. We have this source of intuition from the universe, source, higher self, divine realms, beautiful source of intuition. And then we have body intuition. So like tired, energized, hungry, full. That's more body wisdom, body intuition. And then we have this wisdom in our brains. Like we have information about blood sugar balance, right? So for example, let's say I'm making lunch and I'm like, okay, body is feeling hungry, but not like starving. So maybe I want something a little bit lighter. I live in Miami. It's often hot outside. I'm kind of hot. I'm sweaty. Let's make a salad because that's crisp, that's cold, that's light. Okay. And intuitively, like what kind of protein is going to serve me today? I really believe that using this soul level intuition, like we can figure out a lot about our bodies in terms of intolerances, sensitivities, what works best for us. Okay. So let's say that I've chosen chicken. Then I'm like, great, this looks good. Like salad, chicken, cool. And maybe I'm not really craving an avocado. I'm not craving that source of healthy fat that I typically go for. So most people would say, well, if you're not craving it, intuitive eating would say, don't eat it. But I logically know that if I do not have personally, like my body loves fats, like a drizzle of olive oil is not enough. I need seeds, nuts, avocado, olives. Like that is what I need. I know this for a fact. So even though I'm not craving an avocado, it doesn't sound bad. It doesn't sound gross. Okay, I'm going to add that half of an avocado. That came from my logical brain. So that's how I like to blend those sources of intuition. And I think that that is possible with kids as well. So if your son is saying, I'm not hungry. Okay, so that's what your body is speaking to you. Body is saying not hungry. But you and I know sometimes I don't feel hungry, but like I know intuitively, I know logically for my blood sugar, for my energy, for my schedule, maybe I'm like, I'm not hungry yet. Oh my God, I have 8 hours of meetings. Like I should eat. It is most aligned and loving to eat now, even though I'm not hungry. So that's a conversation to potentially have with your son. Like, well, let's think about what food does, or this is how food helps us grow and gives us energy. And it's like, you know, putting gas in the car. Like, do you desire to fill your car with a little bit more energy so that when you go and play outside, you can run even speedier? Even though you're maybe not super hungry, does that feel like it could be a good decision? And maybe he'll say no, but maybe he'll say, oh, yes, like I logically understand that. And that gets to be a part of this decision-making process as well. And I just think it's a lot more layered and nuanced than most people make it out to be. So if we can invite in these more nuanced conversations, we're just going to have more well-rounded, holistic, expansive relationships with food beyond just I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full. Because honestly, it's really not always as simple as that.
That, yeah, that's so good. Thank you. I think like, you know, the very last thing that's, I think we maybe we'll talk about before we wind down, is just this, like this pressure that we can feel to get this right, you know? And I think that there can be a lot of social prescriptions and there can be a lot of social judgments. And, you know, really, and I'm going to say especially because this is me, but especially as the women of the household, right? The moms and the stepmoms in the household, it's like the diet choices reflect on us, or we make it reflect on us, right? Like we make food choices mean something about the kinds of parents that we are. And we say, if I feed my kids only fruits and vegetables and whole foods, then I'm a good parent. And if I feed my kids only McDonald's and chicken nuggets and plain pasta, then I'm a bad parent. And I'm sure, I know we could talk about this for millions of hours, and I don't mean to open Pandora's box and then log the, and then end the interview, but I want to hear what you have to say about, you know, how we can be maybe more gentle and compassionate and understanding with ourselves and our friends and our the other women who we are raising kids and building homes alongside of, to create more of a, just like a nurturing, wholesome space when it comes to feeding yourself and feeding your family.
Yeah. I always just lead with intention, and that's why I really don't label foods as good or bad. I always use the example of my grandfather who lived till he was like 95. And so he, of course, was on a bunch of different medications just to keep him going, right, in his older age. And for one of these, it was like a blood clotting medication. And so it was not safe for him to eat really dark, leafy green vegetables. No broccoli, right? No dark greens. So for most of us, we would say, well, broccoli is a quote, good food. Broccoli is a healthy food. For my grandfather, broccoli was unhealthy. That would not support his health. So right? Saying McDonald's is labeled as unhealthy. Well, what is the intention, right? As I said, I ate McDonald's every weekend for a while growing up because my mom would drive us to go pick up our babysitter. Our babysitter was like 15, like she didn't drive, right? And so my mom would go and pick her up with us and she lived right next to a drive-through McDonald's. So we would go. That served my mom because my mom was going out to dinner. That's why the babysitter was coming over. So that was convenient for her. It was so fun for us. It was once a week. It was yummy. We were fed. The babysitter didn't have to cook for us. Win, win, win all around. Like that was healthy for my family to have that ritual, right? So what is the intention? And when you are like, oh my God, I have to like meal prep all these healthy snacks and I have to have every single thing like homemade for my kids' lunchbox. But now I'm so stressed. So now I'm snapping at my kids, snapping at my partner because I had to go through the hours of meal prep. Is that really the healthiest for your family? Maybe not. So what is the intention? And that has to be what matters. And if you feel the social pressure, I know that it's there. And this is where I feel like we can just take more radical responsibility for our own boundaries. If you feel like, oh, people are judging me, they're going to think I'm a bad mom. You're worried because you are already judging yourself and thinking that you're a bad mom. And our relationships are just mirrors. So work on that relationship first. Work on the own self-judgment. When you're judging yourself, it gives other people a permission slip to judge you because we set the precedent. We set the tone. Yep. We, you know, open that door, right? We set the precedent. So if you're like, oh my God, she's so clearly judging me. Well, have you kept that door of judgment open? Because if you decide judgment about my food choices, judgment about how I feed my family is simply not allowed. Like that is like, I have this energetic bubble. I love using white light bubbles. Like that is simply not allowed inside my bubble. You're not going to receive it. If someone is judging you, you're not even going to feel it. But that also helps to quiet the noise, right? Whether they know it subconsciously or not, right? They're going to feel that. So I would say it's about the intention. You're doing the best with what you can. You're doing the best that you can with what you have, right? And if you are worried about that pressure, look at the pressure you're putting on yourself first, because everything else is really just a mirror.
You're amazing.
This
was so fun. This was so good. We love Sloan, don't we, listeners? Everyone, where's the little clapping sound? Where's my soundboard? Yay! I have one somewhere, but I don't know what it is. Like it'd probably give you crickets, and wouldn't mean to do that. Sloan, this has been so much fun, so enlightening. I'm really astounded at these pieces that have been clicking together for me, and really grateful for your passion and your expertise and the way that you are supporting this with like the science and the energy, you know, and I think that the further along that we go in the timeline of the world, that these things are starting to become more connected. And I think that is such an important thing, because that has been a missing piece, I think, for so many people who have tried all of the diets, which if you are a woman, you have probably tried a zillion of them. So I really love this blend of what you're doing. And I think it's really important and really powerful and really healing and really just beautiful. I think it's really beautiful.
Thank you, Brittany. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you. If our listeners want to know more about what it is that you do or get in touch with you or follow you on social media, where is the best place for us to be able to find you?
The best place is Instagram, and my handle is Sloane Elizabeth. And then I post on TikTok a little bit, Sloane.Elizabeth. But in the link in my bio, like, you'll always see the offerings. And I also always offer complimentary consultation calls. So if you want to have a chat, ask some questions, see if one of my programs would be an amazing fit for you, then the link to the application in my calendar are always in my link, or you can send me a DM.
Amazing. We'll make sure to link all of your stuff up in our show notes. And thank you again for being here. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we wrap up?
Oh my goodness. Thank you. I would just like to say that if you're listening to this, then that is already a huge win. Like, the fact that you are taking an hour out of your day to learn more, to work on yourself so that you get better, you feel better, but also so that your family experiences that ripple effect. Like, your family is so lucky. If you're listening to this, like, your family is so lucky. Your kids are so lucky. So I just want to give that massive celebration and win to everyone that's listening.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sloane. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, Brittany.
You're chasing after what matters. Your heart knows where to go. If the moon gives up rising, the sun stops it shining, you know you'll have a hand to hold. As we wait on the time.